Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss on why you can be joyful even in a storm.
God is my exceeding joy. It's not the presence or absence of the storm that determines my joy level. It's the presence of God. He is my exceeding joy. So I will be joyful in Him.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, January 30th. What's the biggest, most threatening challenge in your life today? Keep that situation in mind as Nancy shows you how to find peace in a storm. She's in the series, Dealing with Depression and Doubt.
I'd like to read in its entirety the passage that we've been studying over the last several sessions, Psalms 42 and 43, just to remind us of how faith answers sight, how we counter the real life circumstances in our lives with faith in the ways and the word of God. We've seen, first of all, that the psalmist is experiencing a time of drought. Then we saw that he felt like he was drowning. And in the midst of all this, he keeps coming back and counseling his heart to believe in God, to hope in God that there will be deliverance. So let me read this passage, Psalm 42. As the deer longs for the water brooks, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and see the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. And then he talks to himself, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember You from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of Your waterfalls. All Your waves and billows have gone over me." Then faith says, "Yes, you're in a storm, but the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forsaken me? And why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for You are the God of my strength. Why do You cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O, send out Your light and Your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to Your holy hill and to Your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise You, O God, my God." And then once more the refrain, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." I want us to see in this session today one final expression of faith as the psalmist walks by faith instead of by sight. By faith, he's already seen that God's supply is sufficient to meet his need. And now by faith, he anticipates God's deliverance. He anticipates God's intervention. I want to focus on that phrase, "I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." He's saying the day is coming. I don't know when. I don't know how long it will be. But I know that the time will come when God will deliver. When God will intervene in my situation. And in the meantime, I will hope in God. In the meantime, I will trust confidently. I will rest in assurance that God knows what He's doing. God determines the nature of the trial. He determines the extent of the trial. He determines the duration of the trial. God is sovereign. So hope in God, because I know that in time, God will intervene. In time, God will deliver. I love that passage in Psalm 30, verse 5, that says, weeping may endure for a night. And your night may not just be 1 8-hour night. It may be an 8-month night, or an 8-year night, or years and years of darkness. But the psalmist says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You say, oh God, let it be morning. That's all right to say, but keep hoping in God until it is. And know that in God's time and in God's way, the morning will come, the joy will come. And even in the night, knowing that joy is ahead, you can have joy now. God is my exceeding joy. It's not the presence or absence of the storm that determines my joy level. It's the presence of God. He is my exceeding joy. So I will be joyful in Him. And that's exactly what the prophet Habakkuk says in chapter 3, Habakkuk chapter 3. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the field yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, that's all sight. Though there's no visible reward for your faith, though there's no visible evidence that God is hearing or answering your prayers, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. When there's no visible means of support around me, when there's no visible means for joy, yet I will be joyful because I have the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, Habakkuk says. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. See the faith there that anticipates God's deliverance and God's intervention. And so the psalmist says that chorus one more time. Hope in God. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Ladies, that needs to be the chorus of our lives. The stanzas have all kinds of other things in them. The stanzas of our lives have marriage problems and child problems and health problems and financial problems and internal and external problems and moves and job losses. And those are the stanzas of life. But you gotta keep coming back to the chorus. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. That word hope is translated from a Hebrew word that means to wait, to tarry, to hope, to expect, to be patient, to trust. Now, we don't like the waiting part of hope. At least I don't. I want to see the answer. I want to see the resolution. I want the problem to be solved. And let me just say again, that's the way it is on TV, but that's not the way it is in life. Part of hoping is waiting. Some of you are hoping in God to deliver your marriage. Some of you are hoping in God to deliver a son or daughter who is in bondage to the evil one. Wait on the Lord. Say, how long do I have to wait? I don't know. Just keep waiting. But you're not just waiting for your husband. You're not waiting for your son or daughter. You're waiting for God. If you were waiting for your husband or your son or daughter or your financial situation or your health to change, you might not have any hope. But your hope is in God. And that's why you have hope. Hope in God. Wait. Cling to Him. Be patient. Trust in Him while you're waiting. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him. That word praise is translated from a Hebrew word that means to use the hands, to revere or to worship God with extended hands. It's an expression of thanks to God. It means bless the Lord. You say, in the midst of my storm, in the midst of my depression, in the midst of my doubt, in the midst of my fears, in the midst of my trouble, I'll praise the Lord when I get out of it. No, praise the Lord while you're still in it. Knowing that you will praise Him in the long run. So praise Him now. I will yet praise God. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Give him thanks. Bless him. Revere him. Worship him. Say, Lord, you are great. You are good. You are God. You have not changed. You are all I need. You are sufficient. You are sovereign. You are wise. You are loving. You are good. The waves may be still beating on your boat, but you'll be safe. Listen, the storm may kill you, but you'll still be safe if you're a child of God. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. So hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. And then let me just talk about one other word. I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. That word help is translated from the Hebrew word Yeshua. Yeshua. Does that name sound familiar? The word Yeshua means deliverance, salvation, victory. God is the Yeshua of my countenance. He is the deliverance of my face. He is my salvation. If you add one syllable to the word Yeshua, you get the name for Joshua, which means not only salvation, it means Jehovah saves. Jehovah is my salvation. And what is the Greek word in the New Testament for the name Joshua? Jesus. That's the Greek transliteration for this word. Jesus is my salvation. Jesus is my deliverance. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the Yeshua, the salvation, the deliverance, the victory of my faith and my face. And my God. You know, ultimately, every struggle in life, every pressure, every problem is intended to take us back to the Savior. Deliverance is not found in a counselor. It's not found in pills. It's not found in shopping. It's not found in food. It's not found in a good friend. It's not found in Christian radio or Christian television or Christian novels. That's not your source of deliverance. Yeshua, Jesus saves. He is my deliverer. He is my salvation. Deliverance is found not in ourselves, not in anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus himself. So say to your soul, why are you so cast down? Why are you disquieted? Then your soul may say back to you, well, it's this reason and this reason and this reason and this reason. I have a lot of reason to be cast down, to be disquieted. And then speak back to your soul and say, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. The help, the Yeshua, the Savior, the Deliverer, the salvation of my countenance, and my God.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss showing you how to trust in God's peace even in the middle of an emotional storm. That message is part of the series Dealing with Depression and Doubt. It's a study of Psalm 42 and 43. To hear the whole series or read the transcript, you can visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, Carrie Gall knows what it's like to be in the kind of emotional storm we've heard about during this series. Not long ago, she talked with Nancy and a group of women about walking with the Lord through the storms of life. I think her thoughts will encourage you to live out the message we've been hearing. Carrie is a biblical correspondent for Revive Our Hearts. That means she answers emails and letters from our listeners. Here's Carrie.
In June of 2012, I was diagnosed with cancer and was kind of at the tail end, I hoped it was the tail end, of a very dark season in my own life, spiritually and emotionally and relationally. And the Lord had taken me away for a day just to be with him and his word and had really ministered to my soul. And then 2 months later, I was diagnosed with cancer. We went home that night. Actually, it was 10:30 that night that we got a phone call from our surgeon, and he had promised to call that day, and he had been caught in surgery until that time. So it was 10:30 in the evening, And he called and said, Mr. and Mrs. Gall, I need you to sit down. I'm about to tell you that Carrie has cancer. And there were, of course, there were tears and there were questions and there were all of that, which is very natural for all of us in that time. And within the next, we prayed and cried. And within the next hour, my husband very wisely just said to me, Carrie, we need to think about how we're going to tell people about this. And I didn't hear a voice, you know, I didn't see a 10,000 pound angel, but I sensed the Spirit of God saying, Carrie, this is a gift of my love to you, and you have to receive it like that. And so over the course of the last now year and a half almost, we have walked through that journey. And so to answer the question of what has God done, how do you know him today differently? And I would have told you in June of 2012 that God was faithful. I knew of his covenant, I thought. But in the midst of some of the darkest days prior to that I've ever known in my adult life, I lost track of that. You know, I lost sight of that. And so one of the myriad of things that he's done in this journey with cancer is to show me his faithfulness doesn't change dependent upon me. He is faithful. He shepherds. He guides. He answers prayer. He hears. I don't know whether God will heal me of cancer or if it will be what he uses to take me into his presence, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because what I've come to know of him in the midst of it is that he never changes. He never changes. And so I could tell stories from now till midnight about his faithfulness and the tender, tender ways that he has shepherded us. One of them is in the midst of the cancer treatment, and so many of you know this journey personally in your own lives, but we had so many doctors and so many opinions and so many reports and so many tests, and we had to make some treatment decisions. And I have no medical background, and so we were doing a lot of research and a lot of praying. And I went for a pretty major test early in the morning, one morning, and met with that doctor again, said, I'm just not sure what we're going to do. And as I'm coming out of that, I just said to the Lord, I do not know who to trust. I don't know who to trust, and you have to help me land this plane. And throughout the day, I just said, Lord, I don't know who to trust. That afternoon at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I get a phone call on my cell phone from one of my oncologists, and it was his name. I assumed it was his nurse. It was actually him. When I answered the phone, he said, and used his name, this is Dr. Park, and he said, Carrie, I'm watching your reports come through. I know you have some questions. He answered some of those questions for me, gave me a little bit more detail about some things, talked about the other doctor that I was seeing, and at the tail end of all of what he said, Carrie, you can trust him. I trust him. And I thought, that's what I needed to know. You know, that's exactly what I prayed. And so those tender mercies of just seeing that God answers when we cry, he answers. So I think in the early days of any type of trial or suffering that we're going through, there's a sense of his presence, but there is also such an overwhelming sense that I can't think straight, I can't see straight, I don't know what the answers are. It feels like a fire hydrant is coming at me, and I feel like I need to grab control and know all of the answers to all of the questions that are going to come up. And I think maybe one of the most helpful things during that time would have just been to know that he is my God and he is leading me one step at a time. And I don't need to know the 10-year plan. I just need to know in this next minute, Lord, what do I do? And I think that's one of the things that he is teaching me. I love to have control. I like the 10-year plan. And he's teaching me, just listen to my voice, Carrie. just be still and listen. And he speaks to us through his word, and he speaks to us through his spirit and our times with him in prayer and through his people. But my heart is often not still, and my mind is for sure not still, because it's going in 1,000 directions and trying to figure things out. And so he's teaching me in much of this journey with cancer, he's teaching me, just listen to me. Just listen. Just be still. So many times in all of our lives, we have to learn how to talk to ourselves and not to listen to ourselves. And for me, that is not a natural thing. I don't do that naturally. I don't default to that. And so one of the things in the journey with cancer that a very real illustration, the day we were going to meet with 5 doctors in one day, a dear friend of ours came over early in the morning that morning just to pray with us and to see if there was anything he could do. And he just loved on us, you know. And so he came in that day and we talked some. And by that time, there's just so much information that I couldn't process any more information. And he said to me, Carrie, what's the greatest thing on your heart right now? And I remember saying to him, I just do not want to fail, my God. I do not want to fail. I do not want to be a poor reflection of him. I don't want to waver in my faith. I want people to see him through it. And then I talked about how I felt like I had failed so often in that. And I wanted to do this different. I wanted people to see him in the midst of it. And evidently, in a lot of what I was sharing, there apparently was a lot of guilt, shame, and condemnation, which I lived with for so many years. And he just looked at me and he said, Carrie, where Jesus is, there is no guilt, shame, and condemnation. He will keep you faithful. Just listen to him. And that was just one of the sweetest, simplest, most profound things that I had to wrap my head around day after day after day, was I do not have to understand all of this. I just have to believe what is true, because Jesus died and he, for me, he lived and he died and he's raised from the dead for me. And all of what is true because of that changes everything. And so it was a minute by minute, some days, of having to counsel myself with that truth. And some days I did it well and some days I didn't do it well, but it didn't change who he was. And it didn't change who I am, because I'm in Christ and because I belong to him.
Carrie Gaul has been talking with Nancy Lee DeMoss and a group of women about walking with the Lord through the storms of life. Sometimes singing to the Lord, even through your tears, will remind you of the truth, get your eyes off the storm, and help you take refuge in the peace of God. We're asking the Lord to use a new CD by Nancy Lee DeMoss in this way. The CD is called Be Still. Nancy played 10 instrumental versions of her favorite hymns on piano. This month, we've been sending a copy to anyone who makes a donation of any size to the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. Tomorrow is the last day we'll be making that offer, so if you've intended to get a copy, let us hear from you. You can support the ministry by phone. Just call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959, or visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, tomorrow we'll hear from a woman who was horribly mistreated as a teenager. She seemed to have had every reason for depression and doubt, but she found freedom from that pain. Hear the powerful story tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.